Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Author of the bestseller This Town, Mark Leibovich, returns with a collection of portraits of Washington's elite and wannabe elites in his new book, Citizens of the Green Room. Hailed by the Washington Post as a master of the political profile, Leibovich has spent his career writing memorable and buzzworthy features about politicians and other notables. Currently chief national correspondent for the New York Times Magazine, he often punctures the inflated personas of the powerful, and in that, he reveals the lives, stories, and peculiarities behind the public masks. His new book is Citizens of the Green Room, and we welcome Mark Leibovich to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
It's great. Thanks for having me on.
Very nice to have you with us again. The last book was This Town, as I mentioned, the new book Citizens of the Green Room. How much did this book come out of the last, as far as style goes?
Well, the title actually was directly related to that. I mean, Christopher Buckley, who is a novelist that I admire a great deal, he reviewed This Town for the Times Book Review. And in the review he said, I wish this book had been called Citizens of the Green Room, because that's what these people are. And that was actually a line from This Town, so I just sort of kicked it forward and I made it the title of this book. But essentially it's the same principle, which is that these are people who are in public life, and being in public life requires a certain comfort with the pampering and the interactions that fame brings, and the Green Room is sort of ground zero for that.
So in the stories that you wanted to tell, this is your beat, right? I mean, this is sort of what you do.
Yes. No, totally. I mean, I have fell into this weird niche of, just being the person who writes about politicians, and it's a strange little niche, but it's one that I've fallen into. And so my publisher decided one day that he wanted to put a collection together, and I was game, and this is sort of a 12-year period. I mean, Jeb Bush is in here, Hillary Clinton, Chris Christie, I mean, a lot of people who might run for president but who have been around for a long, long time, and this is the fruits of that.
What I find fascinating about your work is, as a guy who interviews people, often politicians, I think most journalists will say this, that interviewing politicians is incredibly difficult. Right. It's not really to get anything genuine and maybe even true out of them is very difficult because they're on guard.
Right.
I heard Jon Stewart interviewed just the other day talking about this, of even in a comedic sense, they come on and they're no fun to interview. So
yeah.
you are able in some way to get past that and to still provide a profile that is meaningful and interesting, with I assume not much difference in their personality than it would be normally with another interviewer.
Well, I think there's always a difference in some ways. I mean, they know who they're talking to. They know the tape recorder's on, presumably. I mean, I think the key is just knowing what to look for. I mean, I think knowing what to listen for. And I think in some ways politicians are, they think they're being on message and hyper-cautious, but really they're more revealing than they think they are. And I think if you have, you know, first of all, if you're taping and you can listen and you can replay things, and if you know, if you spend enough time with them and if you do enough research around them when they're, you know, not necessarily when they're with you, you can, you know, learn to find fresh things and find things that are interesting to you, and you learn to respond to what is interesting and what readers might respond to as interesting and original.
And a lot of times what is original and interesting is what has happened in the past. I mean, you have a piece about Hillary Clinton, and, you know, you talk about this disciplined political persona that she presents now, and yet there were these letters that you found from the 1960s that were so expressive and in such contrast to that very disciplined demeanor.
Yeah, I was amazed that I was able to find those, and that the person who had them, this is his friend that she had back in the late 60s and early 70s, who she became a pen pal with, was allowed me to see it and Xerox them. I mean, I remember when I got this assignment to be just a Hillary Clinton profile writer back in 2008, I said, what on earth am I going to find that hasn't been written about before? And I figure everyone's been gotten to, but no, what these letters provided was just this incredible window into a person who was not guarded at all, and someone who was really, really confused and probing and sort of reflective and self-absorbed the way a lot of college students are, but I'd never seen that side of her, and I was thrilled to get them and thrilled to put a lot of them into the story, and hopefully readers will be surprised by what they find.
You write about, it's not just politicians, you do write about other Washington types, one being Chris Matthews, which I found to be a fascinating piece.
Yeah, he didn't love that one.
No, I can see, well, right, I can see why, but, so, Chris Matthews is interesting because you in your portrayal, you're basically saying that here's a guy who was a, if I'm reading this right, had a political background, became a reporter, a print reporter, and wanted to be in some ways a serious journalist, got into the television thing, and you had to find your audience, and he found it by, you know, yelling a lot, and then I don't know, and finding his way and finding his place not only within journalism but even within NBC.
Right. No, I mean, Chris is like the ultimate product of the cable age in some ways. I mean, he really wanted to be on TV. I mean, he was a political operative. He worked on the Hill for Tip O'Neill for many years, and then he got kind of he was a columnist for the San Francisco Examiner, which not a lot of people were reading in Washington at the time, but it gave him at least a title to go on TV with. And he carved out a niche for himself in which, you know, he became the hardball guy. And Chris is very similar on the air as he is off the air. I mean, he's a real, I mean, you just never really know what's going to come out of his mouth. But one of the things I like to do as a political reporter is to go after the media, too. And I think that's one of the reasons that my last book, This Town, caught, you know, a lot of flack, or not flack, but it was seen as controversial, and that's because I think that the media is a much bigger part of the story than we're willing to admit, and there's this unwritten code that people in my business are not supposed to write about other people, but I think that that's absolute nonsense in this day and age. So, you know, Chris, I think, would say that he was victimized by that, but I think it was a fun piece to do, and I appreciated his openness with me, and I think in retrospect he might have regretted it, but I think readers will benefit.
You used a term just a moment ago, and you say when people I choose to go after.
Right.
Is that conscious that's what the motive of this piece is going to be?
Go after, I don't mean to go after like negatively. To harm them or
okay.
Try to chase them out. I mean, I think go after meaning just pursue
right.
A story about them that is more, that's just more truthful, frankly, than the official story. And the official story is something that a lot of people are very much invested in telling, and sometimes it's just very unnatural. It's again, it's the 10 sound bites you hear. It's the same basic biographical message that you hear. And again, I think that that's, I think, frankly, it's a lot of professional nonsense, and I think it's the job of the journalist to try to go after a more revealing picture of someone, and they obviously are going to not always like it because it's going to be at odds with the official story, but it's certainly not our job to tell the official story or at least be a conduit for it.
You write about Glenn Beck. It's one of my favorite pieces in the book. And that would certainly be a piece that is contrary to what the official story is.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is, you know, the straight-laced talk show host who is talking about morals and values. And as you write, it came from a different background, let's say.
Right. Right. No, it's true. I mean, Glenn Beck, I was shocked that he talked to me. I mean, he was very conservative. A real firebrand on the right. I mean, this was 2010, and he was on Fox, and he was making a lot of waves. And I was surprised that he would, frankly, talk to a reporter for the New York Times Magazine, and I was grateful that he did. I mean, he's really quite a complicated guy, and he's been through a lot, and he's a recovering drug addict and alcoholic, and was really, really raw and really, really open with me, and I appreciated it, and I actually appreciated him trusting me to a point where I think I could maybe move the story forward and certainly give readers of the New York Times a fuller sense of who this guy is, but, you know, beyond the quote-unquote rodeo clown that he describes himself as. So, yeah, I was pleased to get in the door on that one.
But he's a radio guy, you know, and sort of started right. That way. And my question is, and always has been about many people of that variety, where you say, okay, how much do they believe, really believe what they are saying?
great question. I don't think they always believe it. I think even if they do believe it, they tend to amplify it and try to go for the most outrageous way of saying it, just to maximize attention. I mean, I think one of the messages of this book is that a lot of what you see on TV is play acting, frankly, and it's shtick. I mean, radio too, in many ways. I mean, these are amplified public versions of a self that is quite, in many cases, quite at odds with who they really are. So I try to, as a journalist and as someone who, you know, is privileged enough to get close to them, I try to live in the gap between the story they want to tell and the real story, and hopefully, you know, get as close to the latter as possible.
You write in the book, we talked about Hillary Clinton, but another prospective candidate for 2016 running for president, of course, Jeb Bush. And you write about Jeb Bush in the book. What was your takeaway from that time?
Well, I mean, first of all, that was what was amazing about reading that piece again is it was written largely in 2002, 2003. And I corresponded with him mostly by email. And I remember when I wrote that story, it was like there was a big gee whiz factor. It was like, wow, a politician actually communicates by email. And, you know, now it's obviously just a utility that we take for granted. But no, I mean, he's sort of a tortured soul. I mean, he's been through a lot with his family. I can't imagine what it's like to be part of a political dynasty like that when your dad and your brother has been president. I have not talked to him in a long time, but it was fascinating to look back and look at our correspondence back when people were first talking about him and sort of seeing how not only he has changed, but also how the world has changed.
And reading that piece, you get the idea this is a guy that doesn't want to be president.
I that's certainly a sense I came away with last time. I mean, he was then governor of Florida, so he had a pretty challenging day job. But one thing you do realize when you watch these people up close is they really need to want to be president. I mean, that is just such a monumental effort to get there, the kind of indignities you deal with every single day, and then actually winning, you know, if you are fortunate enough to be there. I mean, it's an insane job. And it's funny, I'm profiling Chris Christie. Christie's in the book, but I also have a profile of him in the Times Magazine that's running this Sunday. And, he said at the end, he said, look, losing isn't the problem. Winning is the problem. It's an insane job, and that's what you really got to think about. And again, I mean, these are people who are not like you and me. I mean, I never really knew anyone in my life who actually thought they wanted to be president. But I guess once you have that kind of ambition and that kind of confidence or whatever, it sort of takes you to a level of where you think you can withstand just a lot of just bizarre stuff that goes on in public life. So Citizens of the Green Room is essentially a book about public life.
I was reading the Chris Christie piece this morning, and it's fascinating because this was a year ago that Bridgegate broke, and so and the question you ask in the piece is, you know, is he back, and is that enough? And
right.
I don't know what's your sense of it.
I think he's back in the conversation. I think what's interesting about Chris Christie is when he's in the conversation, it tends to be an argument. So I think that'll be entertaining, but also I think necessary, especially within the Republican Party. I mean, this is a party that I think is quite overdue for an argument with itself between the far right and the more quote-unquote establishment wing of the party that I think Chris Christie is probably more identified with. So I think I have some real questions. I think a lot of people would have some real questions about how well his act would travel and how, you know, whether saying sit down and shut up might be one thing in New Jersey, it's another thing to say it in the middle of Iowa. So, look, at the very least, I hope he runs just because I think it'll be fascinating to watch him, and I think he's one of the more compelling politicians out there.
The new book is Citizens of the Green Room. It is published by Blue Rider Press. Mark Leibovich, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.